has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Friday morning, everyone. This is the January 15th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And we also, as usual, we have our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor, Paul Carlson, joining us today. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Barry.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. Have you had a chance to take a deep breath after a busy week?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the long weekend. We have Martin Luther King Day on Monday, so it's a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, that'll give all of us investors out there a day to relax. So not have to keep an eye on it quite as much, hopefully. But I'm sure the news will still be flowing.
But
yeah. So well, I mean, I guess as expected. The overarching theme of 2021, as Bill, as we've been talking about, I guess will be hashtag accommodative. The hashtag will give us kind of a modern feel. But I mean, the playbook's the same, right? It looks like a combination of both monetary and fiscal policy. And we've received, of course, some strong indications of each yesterday. First, Fed Chairman
That's right.
Jerome Powell's comments, right, in the kind of those prepared statements in the kind of mid-afternoon, right after noon yesterday. And then, of course, that was followed up in prime time with President-elect Biden's announcement of his proposed $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. That was, I think, a little bit after 7 p.m. last night. And so, of course, a lot to get to there, but we'll break down that a bit later and probably get into some specifics in the second quarter. But, based on a majority of the economic news we received this week, we're beginning to see signs that, that the economy does need, a bit of a shot in the arm, kind of, figurative and literally, whether it's the
right.
Whether it's fiscal policy, monetary policy, or a vaccine jab. Of course, Europe. Europe continues to struggle. I saw where they have. I think Germany had a record jump in terms of fatalities yesterday. The highest they've had. The highest they had yet. I think they jumped. An additional 1,500 plus. Yesterday, so that just that's another we talk about having trouble in discourse here, but it's just tough to get coordinated policy across those countries over there, and we'll kind of keep seeing that, and when you get into the numbers here in a moment for the for where everything's at around the globe, it kind of it's going to be, I feel like it's a running story for me and you when we're on here. But it's, the numbers, regardless of what's happened here, it just kind of seems certainly stagnant.
Stagnant to down a little. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a huge, it's a huge economic center for the world. So, we kind of got to get, them back on track as well. I mean, between Europe, China and the U.S., right, you're looking at huge amounts of world GDP. Certainly, drivers for those regions, in their geographic area, if you will.
For sure.
Definitely. Yeah, but before I guess along those lines, if you have some of the updated numbers, around the globe, we'll kind of get into those, and then get some get a few more comments around some of the economic indicators that we've got today in the U.S. And so, like I said, some of those are obviously pointing to the need for more stimulus, whatever version that looks like. But let's go ahead and kind of take a peek around the globe.
Yeah, so I think what it ties in with what you were just saying about the COVID deaths increasing in Germany, and The DAX in Frankfurt was down a half of 1% overnight. Paris down 0.75%. The London FTSE down 0.75% as well. Over, let's see, in the Pacific Rim, Japan down 0.625%. You had a little bit of positive movement in Hong Kong, China, and India. Hong Kong up 0.25%. China basically flat, up 1 basis point. India up 0.2%. So that's kind of the look around the world from an index perspective.
Yeah, seems kind of a pretty flat overall, and you know, I'm sure with some of the news coming out yesterday in terms of with the stimulus rollout, what it's going to look like, those types of things. I think when you have a potentially close to $2 trillion package here, right? That's gonna kind of put the rest of the world on pause to see. To kind of see how that that's going to shake out, and then affect all of those kind of entities around the globe. I know, some positive news. I guess it looks like in the UK the economy shrank. I guess relatively good news. Shrank by about 2.6%. I think the expectation was about a 5.7% contraction. So. Looks like that some of the lockdowns that translate into as much contraction as they thought.
Yeah,
right. But
could be a timing thing for the report. But, yeah, it's a hard lockdown. You're going to have that for sure.
Yeah, and you're just and another thing is we'll kind of get into too is just inflation, right? I mean, France's CPI number came in at 0%, right? I think it was expected of 0.2. So. A lot of talk certainly about inflation, but in reality, the world kind of needs to be reinflated to a certain extent. It's, of course, that there's always a fine line there. But we've stagflation is usually a much bigger problem than inflation.
Absolutely.
We've had it for a while, right? I mean, most of our inflation has occurred in food, energy, and housing, things they kind of strip out of your normal CPI. So, we've got certainly, stimulating on one side in terms of, inflationary, but, we just haven't seen it in the numbers in 10 years, whether that's, productivity from a technological standpoint has improved, which has, helped
sure.
keep other costs down, right? Because labor inputs and labor costs have been steadily rising. That's part of the, piece of the.
They're going to rise more under
minimum.
Biden's plan.
Yeah.
$15 minimum. Yeah.
Yep. And that's, and we'll get into where that hurts. But, that's certainly, inflationary. It really just, kind of brings that bottom bar back up, right? And a lot of those additional costs get passed through onto the consumer. But, overall, it's just, with money being as easy as it has been for, such a period of time, it is surprising. And I think, the Fed actually is probably more, to me, has been more worried about, low inflation than they have been worried about,
or deflation.
High side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And that's, cause that's deflation is just a spiral to, why would I make this purchase today when, 2 weeks
ago, it'll be cheaper. That's right.
Yeah, right. And so it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy to the bottom, in terms of actually getting, getting spending happening. So it's just, I think, coordinated policy, the main reason is, why are we having it, right? And, I think it's because, like you see some of these economic numbers, certainly this week, whether it's employment has been, hasn't been attractive, retail sales, disappointed out today.
And that's the third month in a row on retail sales.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, fell 0.7. Of course, they're probably going against good comps, right, in terms of holiday season from last year. But. The argument for that pent up demand, right? So you should have, you would think.
But you've got some lockdowns again, like California,
right?
So it impacts those numbers.
Yeah. Yep, and then and obviously you had
hospitality.
Some Yep, and unemployment benefits, some going away or being reduced. That's an issue as well. So we'll in the second segment, we're looking to kind of break down some of the different some of the different pieces of the Biden plan, and we'll also talk about Powell's comments and kind of the Fed rhetoric being the new tool of the Fed. And then in the third segment, Bill will be calling in. He's going to give us kind of a quick breakdown and give us some ideas on some things he's working on in the newsletter. So we're certainly looking forward to that. But we're
sounds great.
Yeah. So yeah. We've got a kind of a jam-packed show today, and we're off to a good start. But we'll be right back with more Best Stocks Now. Looking forward to it. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill Gunderson today. We'll actually have Bill be joining us in the third segment, so we're looking forward to that and getting his thoughts as we close out the second week of trading in January.
Speaking of Barry, do you see the selling is kind of accelerating here? We've got the S&P down 40 points, over 1% at 3,756. The Dow's now down 334, or 0.1% at 30,657. NASDAQ down over 1% at, it's down 138 points at 12,972.
Yep.
And the small cap index, the Russell 2000, is down on a larger percentage, 1.5%. At 21.22, down 32 points. Crude oil down 2.5%, or $1.25 a barrel at 52.28. And then we've got gold, also gold and silver, precious metals down.
Yeah, nothing on my screen is green.
Amount.
Yeah, no indices are green as I'm clicking through. Natural gas
down 1%. Silver down 3.5%. 24.85 the ounce, gold at 18.32, the euro's at 120.85, that's down 0.5%, and the all-important 10-year bond is down almost 2%. Spot 107.
Yeah, soybeans, corn, copper, they're down, which is a bit, which Bill's been hitting on a lot in terms of commodity trade has really picked up. But yeah, I mean, we've got, in the U.S., that's with all the, with all the stimulus excitement, right, in the first part, looking at the break, I was kind of watching the numbers. And, it looks to be, kind of a broad-based sell-off here. We've got S&P 500.
It was the case of the, the buy the rumor, sell the news,
Yeah, I mean, it's, you would imagine, the stimulus package has kind of already been kind of, baked in. Certainly in terms of, the number can vary, but we knew it was going to be big. I think the follow on really to me, the real big policy, especially for a lot of the names we own, is what's going to come next, right? What's the infrastructure, policy going to look like, right? What's the, climate change, initiatives going to look like in terms of how that's going to affect solar and EV and some of those spaces, right, who are counting on, a big, a good infusion from, a good tailwind from the Biden administration and the, Democratic-led House and Senate, right? So, I'm looking at some of the indicators here, and I'm sure Bill will have this information in the newsletter, but, we're below 13,000 now on the NASDAQ, below, 3,800 on the S&P 500, and, you know, now below 31,000 on the Dow. So we've, you know, we'll kind of look at some of those. It'll be interesting to see some of those support levels in the technical charts piece of the newsletter this week. So
yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, and maybe Bill can maybe touch on a couple of those you know, support levels going forward. But mm-hmm. you know, of course, you know, when we look at, you know, some of the economic news that came out today, like we said, retail sales down, you know, third time in a row.
Third month.
Yeah, third month mm-hmm. in a row. And we've got, you know, producer prices, right, rise less than expected in December. You know, so that's just kind of more more indication, right, that, you know, that we're not seeing prices increase at the you know, at the producer level, which there, so that means that, you know, it should be goods should be cheaper you know, for us at the you know, at the store or where online, wherever we're making our purchases nowadays. So you know, the you know, there is a certain amount of reflation that needs to occur. You know, how we get there, right, is always, you know, is always going to be argued one way or the other, whether it's, you know, based on economic ideology, you know, political affiliation, right? What's your, you know, what you do for a living, right? That affects what your thought is in terms of stimulus, right? So, you know, just kind of breaking down some of the different pieces, you know, that Biden unveiled yesterday, and like we mentioned at the beginning, is I think, you know, to me, the infrastructure piece and the climate change piece coming later is going to be actually more, yeah, it's going to be more more beneficial for and more meaningful for individual names that we own. But, you know, main thing, you know, I think, you know, right off the bat, right, you know, additional 1400 in terms of checks to
payment.
Right.
Yep.
And so that's going to be, you know, that's in addition to that, you know, the 600. So that gets, you know, gets us to the 2000 that was kind of thrown or tossed around at the end of December. The unemployment will, you know, federal piece will, you know,
subsidy
last through September, right? And that subsidy bumping it up an extra $100, that'd be $400 a week through September. And then you've got the, you know, of course, extending moratorium for evictions, foreclosures through September. And I think you also mentioned some offsetting, you know, benefits to you know, your mom and pop you know, landlords, right? I mean, you know, extending those moratoriums, you know, it's gonna that rolls downhill, right? So then, you know,
yeah,
the owner of the property is affected, right? So how do we you know, how do we help alleviate some of the issues for them? Part of that's the foreclosures piece, right, if they have a note. But also, you know, looks like $350 billion to aid for state and local governments. I know that's kind of been...
I found that to be very important because
yeah.
I think a lot of state and local governments have struggled, unlike, you know, the bailout back in the financial crisis where they all received direct payments so they could plug holes in their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last one that was done, you know, last year, it didn't include that if the entity was too small. So some state and local governments have really had to struggle to, you know, plug their budget deficits.
Right.
And
yeah.
make cuts, and sometimes even, unfortunately, cuts to, like, the police department. And so that was unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, across the board. I mean, the you know, there's the, you know, I think that piece is certainly important. I know there's been some fight in terms of, you know, who deserves it, what's it for, is it for past transgressions, you know, now transgressions, but at the same time, right, you know, one way or the other, they still need the money. To me, you know, the $70 billion in for, you know, the COVID-19 testing and vaccination, to me, that's the, you know, at least where we're at, right, is the most important piece. I was kind of, you know, actually, if my math's right, it gets a little tricky when you're starting, you know, that's a lot of zeros on the 1.9 trillion. But it looks, if my math's right, 3.6% of the package has to do with testing and vaccination. You know, when I look at that, you know, at least on a percentage basis, seems small. You know, to me, you know, the reason we're in the mess, right, is because of that 3.6%. To me, bump that up, right, and kind of get things moving in a direction where we can continue on. But, well, we're moving along today and looking forward to having Bill join us here in just a few minutes when we come back on the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And you guys stick with us, and we'll have our captain here in a moment. Welcome back to the third segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. This is Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill today, and we'll actually have Bill joining us here in a moment as we get our technology together. But Paul and I, Paul, you there?
Yes, I am, Barry.
All right, fantastic. Well, you know, kind of rounding out a little bit of the, you know, some other pieces of the stimulus package as we kind of left off while we're waiting to Bill to join us. The, I think one of the main things, and probably one of the points of contention, obviously, would be the minimum wage issue that you brought up earlier in terms of $15 per hour. Of course, you know, I think Biden mentioned just passed in Florida, which is a pretty certainly a divided state. But you know, to me, certainly you can make arguments for, against, what have you. But it, to me, it's just going to, you know, at least at this point, right? You're penalizing a lot of hospitality and, you know, restaurant businesses, mm-hmm. which, you know, have taken the brunt of so that part's.
Yeah.
To me, that's a point. All right, and I think we're actually in my ear. I think we have Bill join us now. Bill, are you there?
I am here.
All right, technology.
I'm not
a beautiful
all there,
thing.
But I'm all here.
I'm not sure the market's all here today either. It looks like
sloppy.
Very
sloppy. You know, don't you think it's sell the news on the stimulus?
Buy the rumor, sell the news.
Okay, so that's number classic. One. You know, we're expecting $2 trillion in more stimulus. We get the stimulus, and then they probably disseminate where it's going to go, and, you know, and the market sells off. The market also has a valuation problem, which I've been talking about here for several weeks now, and it's getting worse. And, you know, look, the low interest rates have supported the high P.E., forward P.E. on the market. But now interest rates are starting to go up. Okay, so maybe you've reached an inflection point where those low interest rates start to move higher. They've crossed over one now. That could start to, you know, put a damper on the multiple of the market. So, yeah, you know what? It's time to be a little bit careful, in my opinion, here.
Yeah. Yep. And some of the, and then we were looking at some of these, a couple of these new debt issues where, you know, you've got, I think I saw one debt issue. It was 0.875 for I think it was till 2025, maybe. Oh, yeah, public storage. So to 2026, I mean, the rate, annual interest rate of 0.875.
That's less than a U.S. Treasury. So,
which is what it's exactly what came to my mind.
So that's saying it's safer to invest in public storage. I've actually met B. Wayne Hughes, who started public storage. He's now a billionaire or something like that. Owns a big horse farm in Kentucky full of racehorses. That's how he's spending his last years. But anyways, there's the bond market's way out of whack. You know, Paul, when's the last time we saw a good bond around 4%?
No, they're hard. Yeah, they're just not. They're not good quality if they're 4%.
And yet, you know, when we started our bond fund, we did it at a good time because we were able to find some. I mean, well, we got Netflix at 4 5/8, didn't we?
Something in that range.
Yeah. Not anymore. We're having a real hard time. But I got to believe interest rates are going to start to rise and companies are going to have to pay more to borrow. So we may find some good ones here you know, in the next few months or so. We always have our eyes out for that.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, for instance, this one might be something you're familiar with too, Bill, is the American Assets Trust, which owns a handful of developments in La Jolla and in San Diego, a lot of office building. And they just floated a note 3.375 till 2031. So
holy cow.
To me, a space that, you know, it's kind of up in the air, right? How much office space, right, we need going forward after a lot of this work at home. So to me, 3.375 for a significant amount of risk, in my opinion, at least on the surface.
That's a lot of risk. What got into Amwell all of a sudden? That stock popped at the end of the day yesterday. Is there news on the stock? I haven't had time to
look. Well, they had a successful offering that was oversubscribed. To me, the only interesting thing, and it was around 27.5. Of course, I think they're trading over 30 today.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about the offering is, you know, none of the money actually makes it to Amwell. The money essentially helps, essentially pay out some of, you know, what looks to be some of your, some of your folks that were affected, you know, that were under the lockup. So it's almost like they're carving, instead of, you know, all these lockup shares hitting the market right at once, maybe it's that they're going to be, you know, kind of dealt with in an orderly fashion. So, this particular offering almost, you know, basically coming in, you know, buying out insiders or folks who, you know, who want to exit at 27.5. Well, then I guess now you have more of an orderly, pace of when that lockout, kind of ends. So, as something that's just recently IPO'd, it's up 7% today. So that's the only real news that I see. No earnings announcement or anything from that standpoint. But
well, we're kind of in it for the long term. I mean, we see this as another possible Teladoc.
Right.
Because that's another, you talk about working from home, but visiting the doctor, it's a lot easier to do it over the Zoom lines and going and doing it physically. That's going to continue to be a big trend. I'm seeing a lot of wind. I would say it's a little bit of a risk-off day. Bitcoin is getting slammed.
Yep.
Bitcoin hit 40,000. Am I wrong recently?
I mean, over the last, this past weekend, right, I think it was in the 41, 43 range at some point, right? This week, of course, has been a rough one for it, and, you know, a lot of volatility kind of going back and forth, and today's a very soft day. I think last time I saw it was down about 6% today.
So Bitcoin, I'm just going to get a
36.8 right now.
Yeah, 36.8.
Where is
today.
It trading right now? Bitcoin
36,500.
Okay, I thought it was down more than that, so it's not down that much. And then, you know, I would just say that all week they have this. There's a new term called the Robin Hood effect. Where a lot of people that, there's nothing else to do. They can't go to the casinos and whatnot. So they're watching the social media for tweets going out about stocks and whatnot, and then they're buying the heck out of them. And every day, I mean, there's about a half a dozen really low-quality stocks that just zoom. The other day someone said, it was Elon Musk. He said, I'm switching to Signal, which I guess is a competitor to Twitter or something. So this stock named Signal goes up 400% in about, 45 minutes, and it wasn't even the same stock. It was a different little oil stock or something like that. That's right? The kind of craziness that I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, they don't even know what they're trading.
No.
There was a story from the 70s, Bill, when, you know, gold was on its tear, and there was a symbol GOLD in it, and everyone would buy that when they wanted to buy gold, and there was actually bread baker. It was a bakery.
Well, we're getting into a little bit of the year 2000. But then again, you know, when you see some sector rotation like this, it creates opportunity in other areas. If I were just to name one big rotation I see pretty clearly, it's out of big tech, which is kind of unpopular all of a sudden, Twitter and Google. Facebook chart looks terrible. We don't own any of those stocks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last year and the last couple of years, it was just buy the FANG stocks and forget about it. Now I see that big tech money, I see it going to commodities big time. I'm seeing Freeport-McMoRan and Vail, which we own, and Rio and BH Billiton down in Australia, or the UK, actually. I think commodity prices are headed higher. I think we're going to start to see some inflation blowing through the air here. And the Fed says, well, we'll cut interest rate of when it gets to 2%. We might be at 2% here before too long on inflation, right? I mean, can't you see it going to 2% fairly soon?
We could be. Certainly with the dollar falling, you're going to have commodities going up. But we're, you know, we're certainly looking forward to seeing the earnings that you've that's already been accumulated in this early piece of the earnings season, and how that affects with your P/E ratio.
Yeah, I'll be working on that valuation and updating it in the newsletter. I'm working on it right now, so you guys have a good rest of the show. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in, okay. Bill. You have a great day.
Okay. Take care.
All right. You gotta go. And welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour for this Friday, January 15th. I am Barry Kipe here, planner and analyst at Gunderson Capital Management. We also have our resident bond guru, Paul Carlson, sitting in with us. You there, Paul?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. All right. Yeah, it looks like the market's going wherever it wants to go today, too. So the I guess Bill gets on and the NASDAQ gets back up above 13,000, right? So it seems like how things have been.
The Bill factor.
Yeah, it seems like how things have been working lately. It's I think it's really really unique, and it's really refreshing just to be able to hear. I think just someone as candid and who's actually managing and running money out there. So it's good. Nice
in
to
the markets all day long, every day.
Yeah, like, exactly.
In his blood.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a unique platform where we're able to kind of let our listeners and clients kind of know. Kind of know what we're thinking on a daily basis, at least 6 out of 7 days a week. If you want to know what we're thinking, right? You've got plenty of ample opportunity. So, that's what we're here for, and we certainly go to the website, give us a ring, 855, 855-611 best. Sign up for the newsletter, talk to Edie, set up an appointment with Paul or myself, and happy to take a look at what you've got going on and see if there's some opportunity to make it more efficient. So
look forward to that.
We were kind of throwing around the Amwell as the stock of the day today. So, we were all in sync on that one. So spoiler alert, when he came on. So we'll shift to another one that's been very well for us. But a couple, before we get to that, a couple other, best stocks now in the news. We've got, one big thing, big theme for, certainly the latter half of 2020 and kind of what we see kind of continuing going forward is just the, semiconductors, taking off. I saw something in terms of, I think they said,
Taiwan Semi.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they're going to be expanding capacity, and it kind of ties in
tens
a lot.
Of billions they're going to invest.
Huge. So 20. It's like I think planned for up to $28 billion in capital spending.
That's right.
And so, they've got to expand capacity, I saw something where I think there's 100 and essentially 120 computers on, you know, your average electric vehicle, right? And so, you know, varying size computers, and of course those got to be powered by computer chips. So that's where, you know, TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor, comes in. We've had some great success with UMC. Symbol UMC, that's another chip maker. AMD, certainly, you know, with them and Taiwan Semi being on the higher end in terms of the actual, you know, the chips they make. But yeah, it's been a great theme. So they're expanding capacity. It's been a real you know, supply and demand deal, and demand is outweighing supply in that whole market, which is why the chip makers have gone up. Saw where looks like where dining out recovery is predicted by Chipotle. So you know, they you know, to me they're kind of on
out.
Yeah, they're kind of on the cutting edge of, you know, of carry out. I, you and I had a friendly wager on a Premier League football match, and I lost and made the order, and
it was a very enjoyable burrito.
Yeah, and it was just sitting right up on the shelf when you went and picked it up. So, it's you know, they kind of to me they kind of have that you know, that order from home, mobile ordering, you know, kind of down. To a science, and their product that, you know, holds up well in that capacity. You know, French fries, you know, via delivery, you know, still working on that. But yes, but the you know, we'll get real quick. You know, stock of the day, we're kind of shifting over to Data Nexus Limited. That's DADA. It's up about 3% today at $42.90. You know, this stock is one we wrote about back in kind of mid September. I've had a you know, I've had a good success with it. They're in, you know, they're kind of in that last mile business, right? We've seen we've seen that's been, you know, such a successful trade. You know, interesting.
Well, we own it in both our emerging growth and both of the ultra growth portfolios.
Yeah, yep, we do. And, yeah, and we, like I said, we wrote about it. You know, with you know, it looks like about 115. Yeah, 115 days ago. Yeah, on Seeking Alpha, I think it's up 63%, and the market's up a little more than 13 during that time. So it's you know, it's a timely article, and we're still you know, we still feel good about the stock itself. You know, the part of their, you know, part of their
well, there's news out
attraction.
Today.
Yeah, what do we got? Yeah, I didn't get to that.
The Chinese leading local on-demand delivery and retail platform, which is Dada Group, announced that Dada's local on-demand retail platform, JDDJ, has accelerated its geographic expansion into lower-tier markets and established new partnerships with more than 20 regional supermarket leaders, including Owa Supermarket, Zhenhao Supermarket, Sanhe Supermarket, and Ziyibi Supermarket.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons we like them so much, by the way, is that they're, you know, in such a growing and disruptive market, you know, they're big, you know, they're partners with JD.com, right? That's, you know, kind of one of the reasons we kind of went, got it, you know, kind of found them, right? And also they've got a big big joint venture with, you know, Walmart's a
Well, I was going to say Walmart, too.
Both of those, you know, for us, when you're looking at these disruptive industries, right, you know, reducing your level of risk on a particular company, right, has to do with some of their partners. And so, you know, being backed by Walmart, obviously, and JD.com, you know, both certainly JD.com we own as well. And so, you know, kind of tying that in, you know, we see their execution risk as being lower. And it's just worked out great for the stock, and we see it having more.
Where did the time go, Barry?
Yeah, it's you know, the best stocks now hour felt like about 40 minutes today, but you know, we thank everyone, and we just hope everyone has a good long weekend. Take a deep breath after the beginning of 2021 trading time, and do something fun out there, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. Have a good one, Paul.
Yep.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.